And I already see a few participants getting in here. Okay, so I think maybe we can wait just a second to see if anybody's still loading in before we officially call to order. Yeah, there we go. I see a couple more people coming in.
Same.
Just a quick question. I think, Scott, you're sharing your screen, and I'm not sure if anyone else sees it, but there's like three big blacks.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah, that's on my end as well.
Okay.
No, just two.
You took one of them off. It's like three black squares or rectangles. So you took one off.
Huh.
I'm sure, I don't know if it's your computer and maybe someone else can share, but we can't. Okay, we that go. One is off. Maybe there's.
Let's see.
Maybe it's notifications that are popping up that are being blocked. I don't know.
It could be, but it was blocking. It blocks, however, the agenda or for us to look at it, like participants, but it was blocking like a significant portion of the screen.
Interesting.
Okay. Is it still blocking?
It is.
Uh-oh. I'm going to hide video panel. How about now? Oops. I stopped sharing my screen.
Oh, by the way, staff, I know the previous instruction was to have our videos off. Now, is it more protocol to keep them turned on?
Yeah, the city came out with new sort of directions to allow people to have their videos on during meetings.
Oh, okay, sure.
Instead of just having names. And I think it just makes it a little bit more engaging to see actual people versus just the icon or a picture.
Absolutely. Oops. All right. So it looks like the black bars are mostly taken care of. Oh, I think Ms. Quamalelli accidentally got in as an attendee. I'm going to see. She has her hand up.
I'm going to promote to panelists.
Fantastic.
Do you want me to try to do the screen share, Scott?
Say again?
Let me try the screen share.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Yes, that's clear.
It still looks like Ms. Quamalelli has her hand up and is still in the attendee section.
Yeah, for some reason I can't do it.
Strange.
Can you do it, Mike? Yes, I'm a host. I see the button promote to panelist. It says Tassian will be rejoining as a panelist.
Okay. Maybe she has to leave and then re-enter.
Oh, I made Eric from ARC a panelist for some reason.
Good to be joining us.
Wrong person.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, everyone.
Let's see. All right. There's Tassian.
There we go. All right. Wonderful. Now that that's all sorted out, looks like most of the attendees have sorted their way in. It is 6:10 and this meeting is now in session. I was hoping we could just start with a roll call / introduction. I know there's a few new members, but if we could start and everybody just name and one thing you're looking forward to. Pronouns and the district that you're representing. I can kick us off. I'm Langston Buddenhagen. One thing I'm looking forward to this year is hopefully making meaningful change in the lives of youth across Oakland. As an Oakland youth, that's something that's extremely important to me, and that's why I'm a part of this commission. I served last year and the year before as a co-chair. I'm a recent graduate of Oakland Tech, now on a gap year, and next year I'll be attending Stanford University. I'm representing District 1 under Councilmember Dan Cal, and really excited to be here. Anyone can take over next. Oh, and my pronouns are he, him, sorry.
Anakrita, do you want to take it next? And then
sure.
Afterwards, you pick out the next person in the grid.
Okay, sure. My name is Anakrita Allen. I represent District 3. This past year, I served as the adult co-host, and I think this is, I know this is my third year, but it could be my fourth, I'm not even sure. And so, but this year I look forward to actually having a full board, and especially the districts, each district having a youth representative. So I really think it's key and critical, especially during these times, that we have youth voice and youth representation on our committee. And next is, it looks like we'll welcome one of our new members, Dr. Bill Riley.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm Bill Riley. I'm appointed by the mayor. I've served on the Peralta Community College Board for 20 years, and I was blessed in 2018 to be my last time for that. And I, as a profession, I worked in the school districts for 41 years. Started out as a teacher, coach, but the majority of my work was in school administration. So I'm excited to be on this commission and look forward to learning. So thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm supposed to pick somebody? What about Kimberly?
I'll take it. Good evening, everyone. Kimberly Aceves-Iniguez, she, her, hers. I am serving, I guess, second year as an at-large adult. I remember serving under Councilmember Kaplan. And we're supposed to say what we're looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to voting. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. Check, and I will pass it to Betty.
Hi, I'm Betty Booker from District 6. I'm starting my, I think this is my third year. I'm not quite sure. Everything is now becoming fused. So I'm excited to be here and also looking forward to serving on the board again and also onboarding a lot of the new members and a lot of the new, ideas that we may have to help the board progress on. So excited for that.
Want to pick someone, Betty?
Who can I pick next? Jorge.
Cool, thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name's Jorge Velasco, he, him pronouns. One thing that I'm looking forward to this year would be exploring and being able to participate and contribute to this group that I'm newly a part of, continue to contribute to some other volunteer work that I do with an organization called Here for Kids that I've been doing for the past 7 years, and sort of seeing where that'll go, because it's been different since COVID, because usually we take teams of college students abroad to Dominican Republic, Peru, and Costa Rica. And so seeing how we're now going to be able to navigate that moving forward. And then as well as one project that I'm working on in my professional career is coming to an end. And so I'm looking forward to beginning this new project probably next month, actually. So in a period of a lot of transition. So I'm looking forward to just seeing how everything will turn out. Should I talk just really briefly a little bit about myself, like quick bio? Born and raised here in the Fruitvale, now representing District 5 here as the adult member on this committee, which I'm really excited and thankful for. It's definitely a blessing. And, I can at a later date share a little bit more about just myself and my testimony, my life story, but it's been really awesome to be able to come across and build a relationship and come across different opportunities and take advantage of the different privileges that I have, and to use my voice as a voice for the voiceless, both for all ages, all colors, all races, all peoples, and being able to give resources to the people who don't necessarily have them or have known where to find them. And I did go to public school. I also did, went to private school here in Oakland. I've lived here all my life. I went to college at St. Mary's College over in Moraga, and I was able to graduate and get a job right away after graduation right here in my neighborhood, which has been, again, so cool how life sort of comes out sometimes. You know, you expect certain things to take different routes, and they take better routes than ever anticipated. And I'm excited and looking forward to what the future holds. I will pass the mic to Peter.
Hi, everyone. Peter Lay, pronouns he, him, his. I am the District 2 adult appointee under council member Nikki Bass. And one thing I'm looking forward to this year, I mean, there are only a couple months left, so a lot of the things I was looking forward to already happened, but I'm going to echo what Kimberly said. I'm really looking forward to voting. I'm waiting for my ballot in the mail, checking it every day, so make sure you're all doing that and that you're all registered. And I'm really excited to mobilize young people, you know, to get them out to the polls and get them registered to vote, because their voice is so critical. And that's why we're all here, to engage young people civically. And so I'm really looking forward to, you know, hitting the ground with young people come November, when election day comes around. And I will pass it off to Tathion.
Hi, I knew that was going to happen. I felt it coming that this was going to be me. My apologies, you all, for driving, but work has not stopped for me under our current pandemic. But my name is Tatian. I am a D7 appointee. This is my second year on the council, on the commission, and I'm really, really excited about the work that we've been doing, especially the work that we recently completed with just the reauthorization. And so it's been super, super exciting. I think this is great work. It aligns with my work as a member of the Peraza College's Foundation board. So I'm following in Mr. Riley's footsteps there. And I'm just really excited. I would say, like what Peter just said and what Kimberly said, I really am looking forward to not just voting, but actually I'm just claiming the positive results that we're going to see both locally and nationally, that will really kind of, I guess, protect all the progress we've made in our country and continue to push forward the progress that we need to continue to make to ensure that, you know, we have safe and equitable communities and a safe and equitable society for all. So yeah, and I guess I will pass it to, I think everybody's gone. Was I the last one? Yeah. I don't know. I might have been the last one. Oh, and I will say, Langston, I'm super excited that you got into Stanford, but it's going to forever be Go Bears. So
thank you. I think we have another fellow Golden Bear. Yes. At least one
here. Yes, Go Bears.
Yeah.
Bears. All right.
Okay. Y'all can be on the wrong side. I won't be mad. I also wanted to give staff the chance to introduce themselves too. I know all of us commission members definitely got to have our say, but we can't overlook our wonderful staff. Ms. Taylor, you want to start?
Sure. I'm so happy to see your faces. It's been a long time, and there are new faces. For those of you who are new, I'm longtime manager for Oakland Fund for Children and Youth, and within the Human Services Department, I manage sugar sweetened beverage program grants and Oakland Youth Advisory Commission and summer food and sort of food programs. So I would say that, you know, I'm just so excited to see you all work with you, sort of bring to light the work that Children and Youth, Open Fund for Children and Youth does, and these investments. The city is going through amazing, intense processes around reimagining public safety. OUSD is reimagining safety. And these things are all kind of a context in which we can bring to light and do some deep thinking around how Open Fund for Children and Youth in the strategic planning year fits in within the context. So I'm really excited about strategic planning, and I'm assuming the good on the vote. My ballot came like today, I think, maybe yesterday. We're all good, I'm assuming. So, jump in.
I'll jump in. I'm Mike Wetzel. I'm the program planner here in the Health and Human Services Department for OFCY and also the Summer Food Service Program. I've been fortunate enough to be with OFCY enough times to have gone through three strategic planning cycles, and looking forward to this year. I want to say this is a great year to be on the POC. It's really about engaging and listening and planning and thinking about the future, which during this pandemic is it's a heavy lift. So it's going to be a great thing to think about how you're investing on the city's commitment to children and youth, which, as you said, is great as we authorized this year right before the pandemic. On a 12-year cycle, but it will allow, you know, $18 million, $16 million in funding roughly annually for the next 3 years. So try and think about 2022 to 2025 and how children and youth in Oakland 0-21 will benefit from kind of the guidance in your planning. That was a good year for this, so I'm excited for that. And as someone else said, to fill all those youth vacancies and have a really full, active youth voice in planning this year. That's a goal.
Hi, everyone. Scott Kim, also with OFCY, program analyst. I'm looking forward to the end of COVID, hopefully sometime in early 2021. I don't know. I'm getting sick in my house, and what else? I'm looking forward to some change in national leadership, and I'm looking forward to the fire stopping, get some good air, and hopefully get out camping again somewhere. So all that stuff I'm looking forward to. So Mike, can you share the agenda since my screen share was a little funky?
Not working?
It looks good to me.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so it looks like since we finished call to order, let's just super briefly review the agenda. First, what we'll be starting with next will be open forum. Then we'll move into an election of the POC co-chairs for 2020-2021. Then we'll move into the approval of last meeting's minutes back in July. We'll have a public ethics training from Mr. Killings. And then we'll have a brief orientation, some updates on the annual evaluation from fiscal year 1920 and fiscal year 2020-2021. Then we'll establish an ad hoc subcommittee for strategic planning. And that'll be for 2022 through 2025. And then we'll have some administrative matters and adjourn. So staff, if there's nothing further before we move into item two.
Sorry.
Nope, nothing. All right, with that said, we'll now move into agenda item number two, which is open forum. And we have various attendees on this meeting right now. And for those of you who haven't attended a virtual committee meeting, we would invite you to please use the raise hand feature. if you would like to make comment, please limit your comments to 2 minutes. And we will call on you in the order at which you raised your hand. So if there are any attendees that would like to come in and make their public comment, I see one raised hand. Go ahead, Marianne Ceballos. I'm hoping that, yeah, there we go. Scott can make you co-host real quick, or panelist.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, this is my first time attending this meeting. I actually just joined the Unity Council as the Associate Director of Youth Services. So that encompasses our Latino Men and Boys program, as well as our Latinx Mentoring Achievement Program, and our Youth Career Services at the Unity Council, which is based out of Fruitvale. So I'm really excited to be here and learn more about the work that's being done here. My background a bit is in higher education and college outreach and workforce development. I'm originally from the Central Valley, and then I went out to Sacramento for college, worked with various like CalSOAP programs and TRIO programs, as well as San Jose State for a bit, and done, you know, various other organizations, most recently with the Public Health Institute at Oakland, in Oakland, facilitating a healthy relationships education out of Merced and Stanislaus. So in short, I'm learning a lot and excited to be here. I have my colleague Eric Vargas here with me, LMB manager. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Are there any more attendees that would like to make public comment? If so, please raise your hand. We'll give just another second to see if there's anybody who's still coming in that would like to speak that has not yet gotten the chance to. I want to move on too quickly. All right, one last call for any attendees that would like to make public comment. Okay. If there's no more attendees that would like to make comment in this open forum, then I guess we can move on to item number 3, which is the election of Planning and Oversight Committee co-chairs for this year's meetings. Staff, do you guys want to take over, or I can say a little bit more if you'd like?
We can take over since at this point, what we normally do is ask for sort of nominations, and we can ask for nominations for the co-chair, both the youth representative co-chair and adult co-chair. We must have one youth and one adult. And once we have those in place, we will go ahead and ask for a motion, and then the body can vote. So it's pretty simple. So at this point, we have a quorum, and we'd like to, did we do that before the minutes? Okay, wait a minute. We'd ask to, I guess, call for nominations. Okay. So, and we're waiting for a nomination from the body for youth co-chair and a nomination for adult co-chair.
So I had a question. Are there any other youth that are currently going to be serving at this point?
We have, at this point, I believe we anticipate that Joanne was going to continue through the first semester of his college career, so I guess through January. And then we also have Gregory Hampton, who was appointed by Councilmember Reed for District 7. And both of them are absent today.
That's too bad. I would love to nominate one of them. I've really enjoyed serving as co-chair for the past few years, but I think it's a really unique opportunity to get to understand government, and I'd love to sort of pass that on to someone else. I don't want to hog the responsibility, and I'd love to sort of, I don't know if you can hear my family whooping. They're listening to the vice presidential debates right now. My dad's very excited.
Hearing you there. That was really nice.
I just remember Gerald Williams. I don't know if you all know him. I know some of you probably do. He like whispered in my ear one meeting and was like, you should try and do this. I'm going to nominate you. And I was like, all right. And he like really mentored me through this like huge learning experience, and I've loved it. So I don't know if there's a way for me to nominate one of them. I don't know. I'm sure we have to elect before we move on to the next meeting, but I'm not sure.
You know, I think because it does, we typically have had somebody who's had experience with it. And Gregory, I think, attended one meeting. He would be fairly new. And I think we'd have to really talk them through it. You know, what we could do is move forward with election of a youth co-chair. And then at some point we can switch that over through a re-election if, you know, we
are able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That works for me.
Okay.
I would say of the two youth, Dwayne and Gregory, I would go with Dwayne more so.
Yeah, sure.
Because Gregory has never attended a POC meeting.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The only
concern I have a question
is Dwayne may leave. Mm-hmm. So
that's the X factor. Yeah.
I have a question. Are we able to nominate and elect someone without them being in attendance?
Slow.
Didn't we do that with Miss Allen last year?
I don't advise that for the youth. I think we need to be able to talk to them if we're not going to postpone the youth election or a youth co-chair election, or we'd need to really confirm with them.
Yeah. Okay. I just want a clarification there, because that was going to be my recommendation. If we are going to move forward, I think that's totally fine, Langston, if you've served your time, but I think we should wait to have one of the other students here before we elect them to a position, just to ensure that they're willing to take on that responsibility.
Yeah, I agree. And if neither of them are willing or it doesn't make sense with their plans right now, I'm more than happy to continue serving. But I just wanted to make sure that other youth were able to have that same sort of learning experience.
Well, okay, so then I'd like to nominate one of the adults. And I'm going to nominate Tayson. I'm not sure if I'm saying your name right.
I agree. I felt that in my spirit too. It's not
Tatiana. So I would like.
I was gonna nominate Tatiana as well. So
Tatiana, I would like to nominate. So Kimberly, then I guess you're second.
I'm seconding that.
Well, okay.
So Tatiana accepts the nomination.
Yes, I accept.
Yay.
Okay. Thank you.
So then we can call for a motion, please. Do we need a motion? I guess you have a nomination, so I don't know if we need a motion.
I think we do, just so for the record. I mean, for the minutes. So then if Langston can call that, so we can just vote.
Sure thing.
I'll move there.
So Dr. Riley has moved to elect Tatiana Kwamilele as the adult co-chair for 2020-2021. All those in favor? I'm just going to go across the screen because it's a little hard. I'll start with you, Dr. Riley.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Are we only nominating one person, or it's just I'm confused?
Yeah. So I think we're going to just nominate adult, and then Tatiana can finish facilitating this meeting, and then next time, we'll check in with Dwayne and see if he's comfortable with being youth. If not, I'm happy to take over.
I guess from the floor, are we only nominating one person? That's the question.
You can. I mean, we rushed into that. If you want,
because I kind of didn't hear anything else, but only one person. Okay, that's fine.
Are there any other nominees?
Thank you.
I think we need a second.
That is.
I'll second.
Okay. Tatiana Kwamalele has seconded Dr. Riley's motion.
I have. Anna Carita.
Oh, sorry. I thought it lit up around Tatiana's screen. Okay. Ms. Allen has seconded the motion. Dr. Riley voted in favor. Jorge Velasco?
Yes.
Peter Lay?
Yes.
Betty Booker?
Yes.
Kimberly Aceves?
Yes.
Tatiana Kwamalele?
Yes.
Anna Carita Allen?
Yes.
And I will vote in favor as well. So motion carries, and for the 2020-2021 year, Tatiana Kwamalele will be our adult co-chair.
Congratulations. So is there agreement to postpone for the youth discussion, or will you just sort of remain acting for the time being, Langston?
Yeah, I can remain acting until then.
Okay.
I'm also happy to reach out to Dwayne too. We can figure that out.
That would be great. But we could put it on for next agenda for youth co-chair.
That'd be good.
Give him time. Thank you, Langston, for taking it on for a little longer. And Anna Carita, thanks for the work that you've done last year as co-chair, last 2 years.
Thank you.
All right. I have the agenda up. But Mike, if you would keep screen sharing, that would be great, so we could all have the minutes on the board. Because now it looks like we'll be moving into item number 4, which is the approval of meeting minutes from July 15th, 2020. So I'll give everybody a chance to look those over. All right. Does anybody move to accept these minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes as submitted.
Does anyone second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, I'm going to do the same roll call. Dr. Riley.
Yeah, I abstain because I wasn't at the previous meeting.
Fair enough. Jorge Velasco.
I as well abstain as I was not present. Thank you.
Kimberly Aceves.
Yes.
Peter Lay?
Yes.
Betty Booker?
Yes.
Tatiana Kwamalele?
Yes.
Anna Carita Allen?
Yes.
And I'll vote in favor as well. Motion carries. The minutes have been accepted. Next, it looks like item number 5 is public ethics training for our board and commission members.
Yes. So every year we try to give a public ethics training as part of the orientation. Jelani Killens from the Public Ethics Commission is here. He's been a resource of the last 4 or 5 years for our POC. I hope everyone had an opportunity to read or watch the video that we sent out. And with that, I know Jelani has a new video as well to watch. And as well as it's kind of open to questions that you may have for him. So we'll pass it off to Jelani.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you to the board members for allowing me to join your meeting this evening. Hope you're all doing safe and well during these times. Once again, my name is Jelani Killings. I'm with the City of Oakland's Public Ethics Commission. And just a little bit of background about our commission. We were introduced, established through city charter back in the 90s in 1996 with the whole purpose of ensuring integrity, openness, honesty, and fairness in city government. And really the core mission of guarding, preserving, and building public trust here in local government in the city of Oakland. So we do that through a few different channels. We have our education aspect component, which you're being introduced to tonight, as well as a compliance component in which we have an enforcement division. We really are charged with three buckets or key areas in the city of Oakland, and those are by various laws that we have been empowered by through the city charter and enabling ordinances. So one bucket is dealing with campaign finance. So we are the filing officer for all campaign finance records and statements here in the city of Oakland, as well as a limited public financing program for those who get reimbursed for certain campaign expenditures. The second bucket is probably the main bucket, and even while we're here tonight, is the government ethics bucket. So we oversee the Government Ethics Act, which gives us our enabling powers, as well as Form 700 filing and statements of economic interest. And the last bucket, which is also vitally important, is the transparency bucket. We oversee the city's sunshine ordinance, which deals with open meetings laws, public records request, and we also oversee the city's Lobbyist Registration Act, which deals with regulating those who are paid to influence city decisions here in the city of Oakland. So with that, my presentation will be brief tonight. I do want to play a small introductory video that will complement and really summarize a lot of the information that you have all went through going through the Form 700 filer comprehensive training. And I hope that you all were able to take it. If you were not, it is a required training for all Form 700 filers, which includes board and commission members. So you'll want to make sure that you complete the training. Let your board secretary and staff know that they can communicate with us so that we can mark off that everybody on this board has completed that training. So with that, we can go ahead and queue up the video that we'll go ahead and share. And so this is a video that we play for all public servants, specifically even for new employees, as well as board and commission members. Once again, just to bring a summary of all of the provisions that are within the Government Ethics Act. And what we like to share is that we don't expect everybody to become government ethics experts or be experts on the law just by watching the video or taking the training, but it's important to be able to understand or identify what we call yellow flags or potential ethics violations, and then to know what to do once you're faced with the potential ethic violation and where to go for help or assistance. So with that, this video is about 10 minutes. After the video, I'll come in and kind of go over some of the key highlighted points and then open it up for any questions from the group in regards to this training or any questions you may have in general about government ethics laws.
Hi, my name is Jenna Whitman, Chair of the Oakland Public Ethics Commission. You are about to watch an important video that introduces and describes the Government Ethics Act here in Oakland. Ethics laws can be a bit confusing, especially when dealing with gifts and conflicts of interest. Please watch carefully and remember that you can always call the Public Ethics Commission any questions or concerns that you might have. Together, we can build public trust in Oakland. Thank you for watching.
Hello, I'm Dana King, a public ethics commissioner for the City of Oakland. Elected officials and public employees are expected to operate with a high level of integrity, and the Government Ethics Act is a great tool to help us build upon and maintain that trust. A common misperception is that ethics laws only apply to elected officials, but they actually apply to all city employees as well. The term we use here is public servant, which includes all full and part-time city government employees, board and commission members, and elected officials and appointed officials, as well as consultants who file a Form 700. Except where noted, the following rules apply to all public servants. Public servants receive gifts from time to time, and it's important to know the restrictions and reporting requirements. First, a person or organization that is influencing or doing business with the public servant's department may not give any gift of more than $50 in value in a calendar year to a public servant in that department. In addition, some public servants are required to file a Form 700 and must report all gifts with a fair market value of $50 or more on that Form 700. These Form 700 filers are also not allowed to accept gifts of more than $250 per calendar year from a single source. Be careful when accepting tickets to events or thank you baskets that might exceed that $50 threshold, as you may need to report the gift or decline it entirely. If you're required to file a Form 700, you may want to review the form to be sure that you're tracking and properly reporting gifts. Occasionally, a public servant may have a personal financial interest or investment that could cause a conflict of interest. It's important to recognize and manage these conflicts in order to avoid violating the law. The law surrounding financial conflict of interests is complex, so the following summary is only intended to provide the general rule and help you spot potential issues that may arise in your work. If you believe you have a financial conflict of interest, you should contact the Public Ethics Commission directly for advice and assistance. No public servant is allowed to make, participate in making, or attempt to influence a governmental decision if it is reasonably foreseeable that that decision could have a financial effect on his or her financial interests. When a conflict of interest exists, a public servant is expected to abstain from the decision, discussion, or vote. In rare cases, a conflict could even nullify the contract, impose criminal penalties, and require disqualification from holding office. Again, if you think you have a possible conflict of interest, call the Public Ethics Commission for advice before taking action. Oakland public servants are entrusted by the public to use city time, property, and money efficiently and in a legal and ethically responsible manner. The next segment will provide you with measures to ensure that your position is properly used for the public's benefit. As stewards of the city, public servants may not use public resources for personal enjoyment, campaign purposes, or private gain. When we use the term public resources, we don't just mean city money. Public resources also include things like staff time, city land and buildings, office equipment, computers, vehicles, phones, and supplies. To use public resources means to cause a gain or advantage for the user and a loss to the city. For example, a misuse of city resources occurs when a public servant uses city copiers, city paid advertising, or city derived email lists to distribute a candidate's campaign flyer. And while we're on the issue of campaign activities, a public servant who is also a candidate for elective office may not solicit a political contribution from another public servant, except as a part of a mass communication to the general public. Must ensure that it implements a fair process when conducting the people's business. Public servants cannot practice favoritism toward family members or those who have something to offer the public servant personally. A public servant may not solicit or accept anything of value in exchange for the performance of any official act. This is bribery. Neither can a public servant give or promise to give anything to any person in exchange for nomination, appointment, support, or election to any office or employment. In addition, the law prohibits nepotism or any act that favors a relative, particularly in employment and contract decisions. Under this provision, a public servant may not make, participate in making, or influence an employment or contract action involving a relative. A public servant may also not supervise another public servant who is a relative. As public servants, we must be mindful of the city's governing framework and administrative protocols, or chain of command, when conducting city business. The city divides the duties and responsibilities of government among the city's elected and appointed officials. The city council sets policy, passes a budget, and provides direction through city ordinances and resolutions. The office of the city administrator maintains control over the administrative operations of the city. Members of the city council may not give orders, coerce, or influence city administrative staff under the jurisdiction of the city administrator. If you are an employee and you feel that an elected official has improperly directed or interfered with the performance of your job duties, you should contact your supervisor. If you have questions or would like advice or assistance in how to speak up or proceed, please call the Public Ethics Commission. Public servants receive and possess information that could potentially serve as an advantage to persons seeking to do business with the city. A public servant may not disclose confidential information acquired in the course of your official duties for financial gain, personal advantage, or private interest. This is true even after you leave public service. The Government Ethics Act imposes additional rules on public servants as they leave public service to work for companies doing business with Oakland. While working for the city, a public servant may not make or influence a governmental decision affecting a person or organization with whom the public servant is negotiating or has entered into an agreement concerning future employment. Upon leaving public office or employment, you may not work for another person or entity that entered into a contract with the city or who personally and substantially participated in the awarding of the contract within the preceding year. The law also prohibits a public servant from acting as a paid lobbyist or representative for any person or organization for the purpose of influencing his or her former agency on any administrative or legislative action for a period of 1 year after leaving city service. Under this prohibition, a city council member or council aide is not allowed to lobby any city board, department, agency, employee, or representative of the city for a period of 1 year after leaving public service. These revolving door provisions are complex, so we encourage you to contact the commission if you need advice about your future employment restrictions.
Hi, I'm Jelani Killings, staff of the Public Ethics Commission. For more information about the Government Ethics Act,
go ahead and stop the video.
Please visit our website.
All right, and hopefully everybody, I know it was a little bit of probably the connection in getting through the video, but I hope that it was helpful in terms of, once again, summarizing the provisions of the Government Ethics Act. And then I'm just gonna go over briefly just some highlighted areas. So as you all are entering into public service, some may have served on this specific board prior to this or for more than a year, but we kind of just like to recap a little bit just to make sure everybody's on the same footing as far as some of the obligations that you have as a board and commission member here in the city of Oakland. So once you take your oath of office, you are required to file a Form 700, a statement of economic interest. That form is required to be filed within 30 days of you being sworn in to office. And so if you haven't filed your Form 700, I'm sure staff is working with you, but you want to make sure you get your Form 700 filed because that is a requirement as a board and commission member. It's also important to remember that the Form 700 is due annually after that. So every year by April 1st, you're required to file a Form 700 statement of economic interest. And staff, as well as our office, can provide to you as far as what is supposed to be disclosed on your form. Board and commission members are assigned the highest disclosure category in the city of Oakland, which is disclosure category 1. And so you can find more about that in the city's conflict of interest code as far as all of your income, interest, that are in the city of Oakland that would need to be disclosed on that Form 700 form. And then lastly, the form is also required to be filed within 30 days of you leaving the board. So once you leave public service or your time on the board is up, you have to remember that you still have an obligation to file Form 700 within 30 days of you leaving the board. So going through, we seen the general video as far as the summary. I'll just talk about a key of the points. So the reason for the Form 700 is it has really two purposes. One is that public servants, so that they're mindful of what interest that they have that may become a potential conflict in carrying out their duties as a City of Oakland representative. So it's just a way to keep it fresh in our minds as public servants that there's a document that lets us know, hey, we have these specific financial interests. If any of these matters come before me in any of my decision-making capacity, I'm required by law to refrain from any of those discussions or trying to influence any of those decisions. The second part is to make sure that the public knows what those financial interests are and also can hold us accountable to make sure that we're not engaging in any decision making that could impact our own financial interests. And so the general rule around conflict of interest, as we can kind of share about Form 700, is that we are prohibited from making, participating in making, or influencing any governmental decisions that would impact our own financial interest. And so there are a lot of caveats to conflict of interest rules. They do get complex. So it really is on a case-by-case basis. So if you ever find yourself where you're unsure if you have a conflict of interest, please reach out, let staff know, reach out to our office, because the main thing is that you get the required help and assistance before you make the decision. Having a conflict of interest is not inherently wrong or a violation of the law, but it's when you engage in that decision-making process once you're aware that you have that conflict where the violation would take place. So that's just a brief kind of synopsis of conflict of interest. There are gift restrictions as well. So if somebody is trying to do business with your board or with the department and staff, maybe over a grant process that you may all oversee or something that is within your purview, they would be deemed what is called a restricted source, and they would not be able to give more than something of $50 in value to any board member in regards to matters that come before you as a board or before the department. And the reason why that's important, I know a lot of folks, when they think of gifts, they really think of things as far as nefarious or something trying to be slid underneath the rug that people are unaware of, but it really can happen inadvertently. You know, whether it's going out to coffee, whether it's going out for lunch or for dinner, things like that, it's really important to understand as public servants when individuals are trying to influence us in public matters. And I think if that we can just set the table overall in terms of what the Government Ethics Act is really trying to drive home, it's that we got to make sure that we're only using our public position and public resources only for the public benefit, only for city purposes, and never for our own private gain, never for our own private advantage. And really keeping the lens there, it will really help everything else fall into context in terms of some of these other provisions. So once again, you know, there are also provisions around the misuse of city resources. It's important to understand that there are prohibitions. We cannot use any city resources for any campaign-related activity. We are in the midst of election season. Campaigns are in full swing. And it's important to know that no public servant can directly solicit or indirectly solicit a contribution from another public servant. So there may be a consensus among all of you about maybe candidates you support in the community, whether that's here in Oakland or even more broadly, regionally and statewide. You cannot directly or indirectly solicit from other public servants, whether it's a board member, whether it's another city employee, to give to a campaign or make a contribution. Also realizing that your city titles and positions are not to be used for campaign activity. If they are used in terms of your support for a candidate, it can only be for informational purposes only. It can't be made to see that your position is now co-signing a candidate that may make it look like the city is endorsing that candidate or your overall board is endorsing a candidate or a measure or a proposition. So it's really important to understand that once again, that we cannot use our city titles, city resources, or positions for any non-city purposes. So that's something that you'll definitely want to be mindful of. Obviously, we can all engage in our First Amendment right, engaging in the elective process, but it must be on our own time, our own personal time, and never using city resources to do so. And that's the fine line that you'll want to make sure that you keep in terms of how you advocate in the community, even utilizing the title that you have as a board and commission member. Once again, there are other buckets that we oversee as far as transparency. Staff really will be overseeing as far as the open meeting laws, making sure that you're following the Brown Act, making sure that the public has access to make public comments, making sure that agendas are posted in a timely manner. And then also we do oversee public records requests. So making sure that the public can access information that is collected here at the city. And so with that, if there are specific questions about some of the provisions that were in the video or even questions that may have come up as you were going through the comprehensive training, I'll open up this time to answer any questions that you may have and kind of open up a discussion if the group would like.
Yeah, I have a question. I think my only question relates to the campaign, like if they use your name and they mention roles or titles of boards that you sit on, it's just imperative that they have on that literature titles listed for informational purposes only.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, that would be the key, to make sure that the titles are for information purposes only, and that if there are, you know, sometimes there's quotes, you know, that are given on that literature as well from individuals that are listed, making sure that no quotes are will lead the public to believe that because of the position you hold, that the overall board is taking that position or has that same line of thought. Unless there's an official position that the overall board has taken at a public meeting on a ballot measure or on something specific, that would be the only way that that could be communicated. But when it comes to individual board members being listed on different voter information, it's important that, yes, it's for information purposes only when using the title.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions? I know there's a lot, you know, even in that 10-minute video and going through for all of you who have taken the online training, there's a lot of information, a lot of provisions within the Government Ethics Act. And if I can leave anything else as far as, one, the framework of just making sure you're utilizing your city position, city resources only for city purposes. But on the other end is that we're not a gotcha department. We're not here to just levy a big fine once we find you're in violation of an ethics law. There is accountability in terms of the positions that we hold. We have been given a certain level of public trust inherently by the positions that we have. But the reality is that there's a lot of different things that people may not be aware of. And so what our job is as a public ethics commission, many think of us as a watchdog, but we also like to view ourselves as a guide dog as well. So if you ever have questions in general about the use of your position, city resources, potential conflicts of interest, please reach out to our office. You can reach out to our advice and assistance line. Right now, email is probably the best way because we're working remotely, but we can also provide phone contact as well. And we can follow up with you on any questions that you may have in carrying out your responsibilities as a public servant here in Oakland. And with that, we also have resources on our website for board and commission members. I believe I provided staff with the board and commission member handbook that we have. You can get that electronically. It's a great resource, once again, to kind of summarize a lot of the provisions that are pertinent to board and commission members, as well as going into some of the transparency aspects as well. So with that, really happy once again to be able to join you all, to be able to provide this introduction. Once again, I can't stress enough, if you haven't taken the full comprehensive video training for Form 700 filers, make sure to do so. Let Mike, let staff know that you've completed that so that we can have that marked off in our records. And we look forward to working with you as you're serving the city of Oakland and as we're all working together to build public trust. I think this is so important because all of you, you know, we work a lot, obviously, with public employees, city employees, as well as elected officials. But when we get to work with board and commission members, you all are representation of the community of residents here in the city of Oakland. And you can really help us in driving how we're building public trust, how we're making sure that the city is operating ethically and transparent. And you all can become those conduits for us in the city of Oakland to be able to share with the community at large, but to really build an ethical culture here in city government to build and guard public trust. So I want to say thank you for joining in this work and looking forward to working with you all in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Killings.
No problem at all. Yeah, if there's any questions, once again, I'm open to questions. If not, thank you again for having me this evening.
All right. So with that, I believe that concludes item number 5, which was our public ethics training. Thank you again to Mr. Killings. If staff wants to take us into item 6, our orientation for POC members for fiscal year 2021. Go ahead and take it away, staff.
Sure. This is Mike Wetzel. I'm the program planner here. And I'll try to have a slide deck to bring up for this. And
give me a second.
A lot of what I have may overlap a little with Jelani. We're trying, in prior years, we would give a physical handbook out to the POC members. This year, we're trying to update our website to have a section for you. We'll send you the link after the meeting for POC members to have all this information electronically. So having the boards and commissions handbook that Jelani referenced, the POC bylaws, and other just kind of quick links to make it a lot easier. Can you see my PowerPoint?
Yes, you can see it.
So I'm a little challenged running through this, but bear with me, and Scott, let me know if I'm off course. All right, so I'm going to just take you through briefly a little bit of the history of OFCY, the structure, where we are in the city government, in the city charter, where OFCY lies, what kind of programs OFCY funds, and an overview of the year and the staffing to support OFCY. We'll make sure that this is available to you, the slide deck, as well as to go through at your own pace. So OFCY was first established by voters back in 1996. It was passed as a voter-approved initiative, the Kids First Initiative. And it actually did amend the city charter. It sets aside a select portion of funds for children under 21 years of age. This was reauthorized in 2009, and then it was just most recently reauthorized back in February and March 2020, right before the pandemic, for another 12-year period.
Mike, I'm not sure, but did you want to be in the slideshow view, or did you want this view you're sharing?
I don't know if I could do the slideshow. Does this work, Scott?
It should, yep.
Does that work? All right.
Yep.
Thank you. So OFCY does receive 3% of the city's annual unrestricted general purpose funds. So there's the city budget. That's kind of as the city budget rises, the funds available for OFCY rises. As the city's budget falls, so does the revenue available for OFCY. This year, 3% is equivalent to about $18 million. 90% of that money goes to grant awards, while 10% goes to administration, meaning Sandy, Scott, me, staff, our evaluation, strategic planning, the city's band database system that we use. The legislation says that there's four main goals for OFCY. And this is really how the strategic plan is developed and how grant management approaches the work is through the support of the healthy development of young children, the goal to help children and youth succeed in school and graduate high school, the goal to prevent and reduce violence, crime, and gang involvement among children and youth, and the goal to help youth transition to a productive adulthood. The legislation establishes your work as a planning and oversight committee. And there's 17 members. So currently we have 10 members. There's 7 vacancies. It is our goal to have a full board. This is an exciting year for that. Each council member has the authority to appoint one youth and one adult member. They need to be Oakland residents. And the mayor appoints one Oakland resident, be it a youth or adult. Responsibilities that are outlined in the city charter for you as a Planning Oversight Committee members are to prepare the 3-year strategic investment plan, to guide the funding process through an open and fair application process, to provide to the Oakland City Council the adoption of this plan and the funding recommendations, to submit to City Council annual independent evaluation reports, and to receive a city auditor's annual report on the fund's financial statements and the base spending requirement. That last one is one that we have not kept up as much. Sandy might want to comment on that one, but the rest are very much in your purview for this year. Mission, vision, values. These are your guiding principles. We'd like to dig into these this strategic planning year, but the vision has been that all children and youth in Oakland will thrive with the support of the entire community to lead safe, healthy, and productive lives. The mission is to provide strategic funding to support Oakland's children and youth from birth to 21 years of age, to become healthy, happy, educated, engaged, and powerful and loved community members. And the values are, the main three values are social and economic equity, child and youth development, and community and collaboration. And again, as a strategic planning year, we do look to engage the board in a planning retreat and kind of dig into what does it mean, these values, and what will be the guiding principles in your work to develop a strategic plan. Staffing. This is the OFCY team. Here you have Sandy Taylor, has been our manager of Children and Youth Services Division. She oversees a department, OFCY, and Children and Youth Services Division. I'm Mike Wetzel, I'm your Health and Human Services Planner. Scott Kim is our program analyst who works with the city span database system, grants, evaluation, POC, everything. He's doing everything. Kia Wallace and Terry Hill are our program analysts that are managing dozens of grant contracts with the programs. And we have currently three vacancies. We have our admin assistant, who's kind of you'll soon meet the new person, and a program analyst two and a program analyst one.
Well, can I just, actually, I think we only have two vacancies. Just to correct on that organization chart.
All right. So OFCY sits in the Children and Youth Services Division. Sandy's managing not just OFCY, but the Oakland Youth Advisory Commission, Summer Food Service Program, and the Sugar, Sweet, and Beverage Tax Grant Program. OFCY sits in a greater Department of Human Services. And in the Human Services Department are departments such as Senior Services, Head Start, the Alameda County, Oakland Community Action Program, that War on Poverty Program from back in the day, it's still going active, and Homeless Services. Recently, we had the Department of Violence Prevention subsume the work of Oakland Unite, which was what in the Human Services Department. And these are just kind of co-departments that we do work with and that the work is affected by. So OFCY funding, quick overview of this. This is a breakdown of your current funding for OFCY. There's 18 million invested in 148 different grant programs that support children and youth from birth through 21 years age. So starting at the early childhood programs at the social emotional well-being in preschool and early childhood education settings, all the way through to after school programs, youth development leadership, and career awareness and employment support programs. OFCY is investing 18 million across multiple programs. I believe it's approximately 70 different agencies. 95% are nonprofits, 3% are government, and 2% are community-sponsored initiatives, fiscally-sponsored programs. I should pause here. I know I'm kind of running through stuff, and if you guys have any questions, please feel free to stop me. So I'm Scott and Langston, you could help moderate if there's any questions. If not, I'll just keep on running, all right? So OFCY programs. This is a map from pre-COVID of programs last year. And it's just a representation of the physical location where sites were in the community. The colors are the different council districts. And the numbers are when there's a cluster of sites. There's, I think, 300 sites approximately. Many sites you can see have a lot of programs, like there's 11 down there in District 7, which is Castlemont and Youth Uprising, which OFCY supports numerous programs from birth to workforce at that location. Many of the larger sites were usually schools that had clusters. Of course, since COVID's hit, the majority of almost all programs have gone to remote services. Some are actually doing physically in-person services, but this data, again, kind of the halcyon days pre-COVID. This is from 18-19, just a sense of where the young people do live in the neighborhoods, just to give you a rough snapshot. And this has been relatively stable over the years, that the majority live in Fruitvale District, followed by East Oakland, in West Oakland, San Antonio, Chinatown neighborhood. Demographics, the majority of children served are Latinx, African-American, and Asian Pacific Islander. This is a intentionality of the program to support children and youth who of color who would benefit the most from programs. Approximately 25,000 unique children and youth were served in 2018-19. That's about a quarter of all children and youth in Oakland participated in one or more OFCI programs. This complicated chart is an attempt to show that OFCI programs are serving a higher proportion of African-American children and youth compared to the population than other populations. Approximately 8,315 children and youth were between the ages 0 and 19 were served by OFCI programs. That's about 38% of the total population of Oakland children and youth that are African-American of that age. That's compared to Hispanic Latinx. While there are more numbers, it's about 27% of the total population. Asian Pacific Islander, 28.9%. And then the white population, you see about 909 children and youth were served, but that equates to about 6.5 out of the 13,000. And it's just as another kind of data point to reflect that OFCI programs are serving.
Mike, yeah. I have a quick question about this data.
Yeah.
Does this, data include like biracial, multiracial students, or is there a number for that?
Yeah. Last year is 3.2%, or actually 2 years ago. So we should be having our new evaluation report coming out this month and present to you next month, hopefully, with updated numbers, but that has been actually one of the faster growing demographics over my 9 years OCY is the multiracial, biracial identification. It's at 3.2%. And I believe it will be increased this next year as well.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Just a highlight from the evaluation that African-American and Latinx children and youth were most likely to report that the programs helped them achieve positive youth outcomes. This is self-reported survey data from, independent evaluators survey all the children and youth in programs and crunch the data. And that was one of their findings last year, that African-American and Latinx children and youth were the most likely to say that the programs were good and they were caring adults and that they learned something and they found the programs of value. And another finding was that African-American children and youth are most likely to participate the longest in programs and to participate in one or more programs. And that kind of makes sense that people who participate more and longer in more programs find them to be more valuable and useful and enjoy them and that they've been supportive. This is just a graphic from our current 2019-2022 strategic investment plan. It's an attempt, I think, to show prioritization of OFCI funding. The mandate is to serve children and youth citywide from birth to 21. And there's a concentration to really focus on low-income neighborhoods and children and youth who have the most need. Also a specificity to serve populations that have higher needs, such as LGBTQ youth, homeless youth, foster youth, others. And this is a process that we go through every 3 years to kind of figure out how the fund really wants to prioritize its investment. So POC meetings and members. To say here's the current council list of appointments and vacancies. As you see, There's like 10 members right now and 7 vacancies. So happy to have new members. If you are work in a council district where there's vacancies and you have an opportunity to talk to the council member about youth appointments, we have been trying to send resumes to the council members this summer and have some support from the boards and commission staff at the city administration to also prompt council members to make appointments. But I'd definitely love to see a full board this year. We have more information on the OSOI website as well, how to apply and get engaged. This is a rough calendar. POC meetings usually meet on the first Wednesday of the month. In your bylaws, you could also meet the third Wednesday of the month. This is kind of a rough estimate of the agenda items. Again, this year is going to be kind of fun. You have the strategic planning work that's going to guide a lot of the conversation and just the planning work and thoughts. But there's also the review of the independent evaluation report that's coming up. There's a need to review grant work from this current year and renew programs for their third and final year. And again, just mostly strategic plan work. These dates are subject to change, and they don't include the subcommittees that we will be needing as well for evaluation and strategic planning. All right, I think I'm on the home run stretch here, guys. So POC governance, your bylaws, there's a POC bylaws. We'll have it available to you on our website, the link, but it talks about the term of employment, your meeting attendance, more information about conflict of interest, and then the election that we just went through. It talks about subcommittees. There's one standing subcommittee as a point in your bylaws, the evaluation subcommittee. We will need to revive that now and have hopefully a meeting at the end of this month in October with the subcommittee to review the draft evaluation report before we bring it to the full planning oversight committee. There's also ad hoc subcommittees. That means you form them when needed and then they dissolve when you don't need them. So we've done strategic planning, grant review, and grant appeals. We'd like to form the strategic planning subcommittee today as well. You might have heard of Robert's Rules of Order. There's a new one called Rosenberg's Rules of Orders, which is pretty, it's just a simplified version. We have like a 7-page or 8-page guide that we'll put on our POC binder site of the website and make sure it's available for you. And if you're not familiar with running meetings, it's a good resource just to talk about making motions and seconding motions. In California, there's this Ralph Brown Act, which is started in 1953. It really did bring public participation to government. City of Oakland expanded on that. The Sunshine Ordinance, which further clarified at a post meeting.
Can anyone still hear Mike?
I think he's frozen. I think he's having some internet issues.
Okay. Yep. I was just checking because I was like,
it's not just you, Jorge.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And Mike is off. So it seems like there are some technical challenges here. Let me see if I could pull up the screen share here. While I do that, did anyone have any questions on anything that Mike presented on?
I don't have any questions, but I'd love to definitely look through the PowerPoint, you know, on my own. And it's a lot of really helpful information. So thank you.
Yep. We'll definitely send it out. Mike was talking about the City of Oakland Sunshine Act. Oops. Excuse me. So yeah, this is just sort of the city's adaptation of the Brown Act for the City of Oakland. And that's why we have to post meetings and take notes and have minutes approved 72 hours in advance. It also provides rules about public participation, allowing public speakers after every agenda item, and allowing speakers to address an item before a final vote. So, and then we also have the open forum, which we started off with. So, and for us, we usually limit it to...
Thank you. I apologize for that. I don't know when I got dropped, but you seemed to pick it up really quickly, Scott. It's embarrassing. So I probably just kept talking the whole time through. I think my kids and wife came home and just took all my bandwidth, and I had to go yell at everybody. So, all right.
No worries. I think you were on you were like on slide 33, the second to the last
home
one.
Home stretch, all right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Thank you for bearing with that. We'll make it available for everybody too.
Yeah.
Again, we'll try to, you know, it does seem like we have a pretty seasoned board right now. New members, feel free to really reach out to the, you got a lot of expertise here. And when we got new young people appointed, we hope to try to give them a better orientation. And Scott does do a little work with them one-on-one for every new youth member who comes on board. So, it is something we'll try to work with, but thanks for that. Let's see. Any questions? Okay.
All right. If there's nothing further from you, Mike, thank you for that lovely orientation. Moving on to item number 7, which is updates from staff on the annual evaluation for fiscal year 19-20 and 2020-2021 and grant management. Staff, go ahead.
Do you want to give an update, Sandy?
I think, Mike, you're going to talk about the annual evaluation update.
Sure. The report, we have an independent evaluation firm, their Social Policy Research Associates. They are preparing the annual evaluation report. They, of course, were thrown for the loop like everybody else with the pandemic. So a lot of the data we usually collect on surveys, which is collected in March, April, May, June, is not available. So the report will look different than we first expected, but they are working to get a draft to me this Friday. I look to get my feedback to have them do a stronger draft to reach out to a committee. We'd like to bring it to the evaluation subcommittee at the end of the month. The fourth Wednesday of the month. So I'd ask the chairs to try to encourage members and members right now to volunteer to participate in the evaluation subcommittee, to receive the draft report, give feedback to the evaluators on its presentation and its content, to hopefully improve it prior to bringing it to the full POC and City Council. It's also an opportunity to talk to the evaluators about their design for this current year and what they're doing. This year we've been working really closely with the After School Programs Office as a co-funded evaluation, and working deeper to get more data from parents, principals, as well as after school staff and the program staff, and dig deeper there. But it's also just an opportunity to talk more broadly how they're going to be collecting information and data and tracking progress in this time of COVID. So, yeah, that's my evaluation update for you.
Okay. Thank you. Staff, anything further?
Yeah, so just in regards to grants management, the grants management team is Scott, Kia, and Terry. And they have been, of course, busy this time of year. It's a matter of supporting the grantees and the grant staff to submit and to complete their contracting. So that they can go into contract and begin getting paid and et cetera. So they work through scope of work issues and along with the other things that are required to have a grant agreement with the City of Oakland. So it's what keeps them busy, as well as establishing through the payment process. Interestingly, this, of course, has been a unique year, and so what the grants management team did start to do is have a strategy meetings by strategy to really engage with the team, with the grantees, and they would send representatives. These are Zoom calls to discuss sort of the challenges and to communicate both their practices, their questions, their concerns. Of potentially most doing, and so that Scott and Terry and Kia facilitated these strategy sessions with many of the grantees participating. There was an early childhood strategy session, an after school programs strategy session, a session with the grantees that are involved with them. Student success, so high school success and student success in elementary, middle school, and a strategy session with the workforce development programs, and a strategy session with the youth development programs. And what was so, I think it was a really excellently done, and so I really want to commend the staff of Oakland Fund for Children and Youth on this work as well. These were co-facilitated with community organization staff, and so we had a great deal of leadership shown, and very engaging to really understand what each of the sort of different grantees within these strategies, what each of these strategy areas are experiencing now, and how they are doing their best work to engage in the challenges that they're facing as well. So that was a huge learning experience, and what we probably will be able to do is to just bring a sort of a summary of the learnings from the strategy sessions, because these organizations are, of course, you know, really doing a huge amount in their own way to support children and youth and their families as well, teachers in preschool as well, in this really strange time, COVID time. So there's a variety of things that they've done, and these approaches that they've had that have been very, very, you know, effective in working with schools as well as families. So we look forward to bringing you something that maybe summarizes that. We could not get that done, but it made the experience of what's going on and their work very, very real for Oakland Fund for Children and Youth staff. So we'll bring that to you as well. And we're looking forward to the connections that are made, especially I think when you hear the full evaluation report at the next meeting as well.
Thank you, staff. Are there any questions from the committee? None at this juncture. All right. And in that case, staff, are we ready to move on to the next item number about the subcommittee?
Yeah.
All right. So if we could proceed on to, sorry, I'm just bringing the agenda back up on my phone. I believe it was item number 8 regarding the formation of an ad hoc subcommittee.
Yeah. All right. So let me pull up another slide deck. So I'm going to give a brief overview of strategic planning. As I said, a lot of what we do is just guided by the legislation. We're part of Oakland City Charter, so it's really nice. It gives you the guide rails. It just says that every 3 years, OSY does need to do strategic plans developed with the involvement of young people, parents, and service providers throughout the city, as well as Oakland Unified School District, County Alameda, and the City of Oakland. Each plan needs to take into consideration the findings of the third party evaluation. It says the plan needs to identify current service needs and gaps related to the four main OSUI goals, which we went over earlier. It needs to describe specific 3-year program initiatives that address the needs and gaps related to those outcome goals, including who is the target population, the performance and impact objectives, intervention strategy, evaluation plan, funding allocations. And then lastly, it needs to describe how the plan is aligned and coordinated with other public and private resources to achieve maximum performance impacts. So those are the basic mandates from the city legislation and how the plan needs to proceed. And they're pretty broad, but they do a lot of engagement work. Here's a graphic for the 3-year funding cycle. Basically, OFCY does year one was last year of the new grant awards. We're right now in year two, which is to develop a new strategic investment plan for the year 2022-2025 and to renew grants for the next year, for the third year. And the next year, after the plan is developed and approved, staff will work to develop and request for proposals, and the Planning Oversight Committee will dig deep into an open and fair review process to select new grant programs for the next 2022-2023 next 3-year cycle. So in some ways, it's really a 5-year process you are beginning on. But this year, by the beginning of strategic planning leading into a next year, a request for a proposal, which will lead into the next 3 years of funding. This is just a generic, this is kind of steps in strategic planning. And I want to say that OFCY staff does not have any preconceived ideas of how the plan's going to go. We want to work with an independent consultant, professional consultant to help guide the planning work this year. We have a couple interviews with some qualified firms this week to see if they could really run with this work and work with you as the lead Planning Oversight Committee and a Strategic Planning Subcommittee to design how you want to see the work go forward. But in general, strategic plans will have community engagement running throughout it, that we really want to make sure that the work is public, that you're wanting opportunities to engage in the work, and that you're sharing out your findings and kind of how your iterative process of what's being done. Part of it will really mean to do a dive into the data, an equity analysis. This is something that the City of Oakland has a Department of Race and Equity, and they're very interested in supporting a deep dive into race and equity analysis and planning work. And then it'll lead to, kind of a consensus around what are the key areas, what are the themes, what are the priorities, what are the concerns, what's the direction to move forward to a strategy development, and for strategies that you're leading to, really kind of specific ideas around objectives and benchmarks. And we'd like to, as a city, look to more how OSCY helps move the needle towards citywide goals. And then the last step is to really do a plan that's publicly reviewed, adopted, you receive feedback, and then as a committee, adopt it and bring it to the city council for their hopeful unanimous approval, which will then lead to a request for proposal process. So the first steps for OSCY is to establish a subcommittee. It might meet every other month, and it'll lead the efforts. We're working to select a consultant team to really help bring some professional design and consideration to the outreach and the strategy development. And then as a lead, we'd like to hold a retreat with the full planning and oversight committee to be able to spend some significant time talking about how your vision towards the plan and how to include youth and community voice. So basically community engagement, as I said, is really key. This is what the legislation says, to engage these groups. We look to do it through, in prior years, we've had forums, community cafes, surveys, youth summits, working groups, and we're looking in many different, see what works best for this year. This is a lot of different people within the city of Oakland, and don't want to overwhelm people, but these are just some of the departments that we do work with currently, and we want to engage with, including Parks and Rec Department, Department of Violence Prevention, Workforce Development Board. We work with Head Start, the Library, Public Works, Cultural Arts, Department of Race Equity, Homeless Services. And then within, again, Human Services Department is ACO CAP for Poverty Prevention, the Youth Commission, and the Sugar Sweetened Beverage Tax Distribution and Summer Food Service Program. And then the alignment outside the city to consider, just OFCY does engage with Oakland Unified School District across many, many departments, from early childhood up to after school, to exploring college and career options, their workforce development programs, as well as the county, and engaging with them in health, education, early childhood programming. So the end result was the development of a strategic investment plan that really leads to funding allocations and an identification of what are your strategies as an oversight committee and how much money you want to put behind them. And this is what was developed from the last plan, and kind of laying out the rough allocations. And then this is the current funding, just to kind of align it, that I know it's relatively on target. And as you develop the plan and as you go through request for proposal, you might see more community demand in some areas and less community demand in other areas. But you know, roughly as a committee, you are on track for your plan for this funding. So with that, I'm going to end it with just more of a request for interested members to participate. We want to engage. And then, you know, Sandy, I know you'd love to talk more about the process and just the consultant and maybe your vision for the planning and what to do.
Yeah, let me just say that I think that, before we, hopefully we will have a nice, robust, subcommittee to work with. That this is a really different time and a unique time. And there is definitely, I think, an interest in Oakland Fund for Children and Youth in the broader context of what's going on in city government and how the city is taking on the reimagining public safety. And so it's a real opportunity to examine how Oakland Fund can invest to really, support some of the goals of holistic safety the city has, and what we do is really, really, I think, been well thought out and well received. There's also just an opportunity that we're looking for a consultant as well as the subcommittee to you know, be creative. It's a time when we don't necessarily, you know, go through the exact same process. It's a very different year in COVID-19. It may be there are areas that we streamline, there are ways we can engage with some of the other planning efforts. We definitely want to frame a framework that from the beginning incorporates a race and equity analysis. And so we were happy to have the support from the director of that department or Office of Race and Equity to support just sort of framing from the beginning what the process looks like. We're going to, I think, have a really a more creative or sort of imaginative process, because I think in the past it's, you know, the strategies that Oakland Fund has developed, you know, have been refined, and it's just a sort of time to kind of step back. There's so much going on in our world, and to you know, hopefully we'll get that chance, and we'll get some professional help that will allow us to take a big picture, and so that we won't necessarily, I think, do everything step by step. We haven't really sat down and scoped out the process. That's something we look forward to doing with the subcommittee, as well as this first step where we are looking to find consultants who can be sort of thought partners, as well as do some of the heavy lifting on the planning work. So we just look forward to that. So with that, I mean, are there any questions that people have about strategic planning? And we do have these other huge processes going on at the same time, and it's somewhat mind-boggling trying to, you know, the amount of youth engagement that is intended in community engagement through the Reimagining Public Safety is really huge. So we have to kind of weigh through, you know, how not to be siloed in our approach, and also to recognize that people are going to be engaging in these other major efforts at the same time. You know, and I think it's incredibly important that our process is very thoughtful. And, you know, we won't be able to rush through. We're already heading into November and December. But I think we have a good time frame to get to at least, you know, the communication with you, as well as the council members, hoping to get a draft that provides a really coherent, cohesive, integrated strategic plan for Oakland Fund with the rest of the city into the, you know, the late spring. And even if it's not actually adopted until the final, I think, was adopted in the last session in October. I'm kind of remembering, but we'll definitely get there with excellent engagement. I think we just have to keep in mind that there are all these other things going on as well. So, are there any questions or thoughts or expressed interest in being on this robust planning committee?
Okay. How many people did you say wanted us? Still going. How many of us? Five?
Yeah, I mean, I think five is a good number. You know, at this point, we don't want to have more than a quorum. We are going to, and we have been really trying to get the council members' attention. But I think for some reason we have, you know, I think there's been so much going on for youth. We haven't gotten the appointments from the youth. So at this point, if we have, I think five would be a sort of a
big quorum. So we need four right now, huh?
You know,
as we add more members, we could get a fifth. Would be great. And I'd love to, I know we don't have the youth right now to fully round this out. So
I'd be glad to volunteer my services.
Now. That's great, Bill.
Kimberly, Bill, Riley.
Great. And then, you know, as a co-chair, Tassian, you, of course, are welcome as a participant to all the subcommittees and Langston as well. But if there's any other, Jorge or Peter.
I thought, Peter, didn't you say express interest at one point in a prior meeting?
Yes, I will step up as well.
Great. And I do also remember, I just want to remind people, we do have that evaluation subcommittee meeting. I'd love to have evaluation members. So I don't know if that's really interest to people as well. But Peter, Bill, Kimberly, you'd be the nexus here of our strategic planning to start.
We haven't heard from Langston.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I had a couple of concerns. First of all, yeah, I'm still not entirely sure of my schedule for this whole year. I've been pretty busy right now, so I'm not quite ready to make a full commitment. I'd definitely be interested, but I can't commit right now. And then also, I know a lot of what this subcommittee would involve it is planning with long-term goals in mind. And I mean, I plan to go to college next year. God willing, I'll be in Palo Alto, but you never know, I suppose. And with that, I assume I won't be serving. So on top of that, I don't know if you're looking for people who are expecting long-term participation on the committee for this specific subcommittee.
You know, no, I think that it's just really, we're looking for your best thinking and engagement. It's such the meat of Oakland Fund. I mean, both the strategic planning really lays the foundation for, you know, the strategies, the how the funding's allocated. It's really just the, you know, the best thinking and you know, some deep thinking. It will be facilitated really well between the consultants and Mike. And so, no, it's not necessarily about, you know, being around for the, because again, it will be another year of actually doing our request for proposal process. And, you know, and then the following year, we would have the year one of those grants. So all these processes are really, I think, meaningful and significant. It's really just that we need the, you know, your best thinking, and we definitely need youth engagement. What I have found is that in the subcommittees, we really get just fantastic depth and voice from youth. And so a lot of work goes on in the subcommittee.
Okay. I'd certainly be interested. Can we talk more maybe over email?
Yes.
Specifics.
And I think that idea of Kimberly, Peter, and Bill for three, and then with as Langston and Anacrita, I mean, Langston and Tassian, sorry, as the chairs, that'd be five. We're kind of at the max right now until we do appoint new POC members. Mm-hmm. So it might be an opportunity, Langston, as you just like very soft participation until we do get more members to take over for you. And I really appreciate your thoughtfulness around that. So we don't want to overburden you, but, you know, it could be slight guidance as you move.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Yeah, I wasn't sure how much that would be possible, but yeah, that definitely sounds like something that we could work out.
Any of your participations, great. I mean, we won't try to overburden people.
Thank you.
The idea is what we would like to get is Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, but really kind of get a consultant engaged first, and then do a retreat with you. And that would maybe be the December meeting for a POC as a retreat.
Yeah, but I would even see that, you know, that retreat, you know, we're going to work with this consultant, especially, I guess, to get some fresh thinking, too. It may be around how the framing around the race and equity might be as much the heart of it as the how, you know, sort of as the sort of vision, mission, and values. That's been what we have been doing, and we've been really approving, you know, looking at the and approving the vision, mission, and values that Oakland Fund has had for several years. But I think it's a real opportunity to sort of ground the work around the equity lens, and we would really hope to do that in December.
All right.
It might make sense to do that as as the full PLC. I just think we haven't worked exactly out with the with the consultant or gotten the consultant on to the actual scope and timing.
Right. And so the potentially the first meeting at the subcommittee may be a mid-November meeting to help really suss out like a retreat agenda and meet the consultant at first before we go to the full POC meeting. As you see, we're kind of working together. We're building it as it's going along. But that would be the initial thoughts.
Bill, do you have your hand raised? Do you want to make a comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I did that earlier when I was volunteering. Take it off. Okay.
All right.
And also, I was just going to say, Mike, if it makes more sense, I mean, I was interested in evaluation, not both, but if there's no one for evaluation, I'd be happy to step to that and let more people do strategic planning too.
Could I ask in this agenda item if there's people? Thank you. I really do appreciate that, Kimberly, because evaluation is fun too. Jorge and Ana Carita, I might reach out to you because we have a small membership right now. I think Betty was the evaluation chair last cycle. So since she dropped off, I might have to reach out to her as well. But if Jorge and Ana Carita, if you're interested in evaluation, would appreciate your guidance.
Evaluation. I didn't participate this last time, but I think the year before I participated in the evaluation, so I'm fine with that.
Okay.
On the committee, rather.
Jorge, you'd be good. And Ana Carita, good. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think what I will do and what my approach at this time will be to have some more probably one-on-one discussions to really better understand the roles and responsibilities and just get a better understanding of, you know, overall the process or what will take place. Cause I'm, you know, getting my feet wet with this first meeting and it'd be helpful to, I appreciate the discussion and Langston, the questions that you had, that you brought to the discussion were really helpful and how you answered them, Sandy, were helpful as well. And so I think I'll reach out or we can chat offline and, you know, move forward from there.
And I'd say traditionally evaluation committee meets once a year, if not twice. It's really to receive the report in October. There's an opportunity if you guys want to convene again to have more input on a mid-year evaluation report or the design. That's up to your purview. The strategic planning subcommittee would be more active. It would look to get kind of much more engaged around the 2021, the new year, calendar year, and more involved in the strategy development and the community outreach. So that would be a more frequent involvement.
All right, so what's next for us at this time? For this item, what else needs to be done?
I think we're good. I mean, I think we have our, you know, just formally the chair appoints chairs appoints the committee members. And so just to summarize, for Tazian's benefit, you know, we would like to just formally ask that you appoint to the strategic planning committee. Who did we have?
Bill Riley, Kimberly Aceves, and Peter Lay.
And Peter Lay. Bill, Kimberly, and Peter. And Langston, tentatively, or we could talk to you more about it, Langston, for sure. And then you also would appoint to the evaluation subcommittee, Ana Carita, and potentially Jorge, right? But the bylaws say the chair appoints. So we'd like you to make a formal statement.
Is she still on?
Tazian, where are you?
Tazian has left the call. Left the
Okay.
Langston, you're always going to be a value to us as a chair and a carryover chair.
Acting chair.
Yeah, I'm happy to make the appointments. Okay, could you read me those names one more time? I'm sorry, but I couldn't keep all of them straight. I'll write them down.
Yeah, no, it's for the Strategic Plan Subcommittee was Kimberly Aceves, Bill Riley, and Peter Lay.
Okay.
And then for the Evaluation Subcommittee was Jorge and Anna Creta.
Okay. All right.
We'll try to add one more. If we could. And again, as co-chairs, I reach out to, I will include both you, Langston, and Tassian, and all the communications for both those subcommittees. And your participation is as you are able to do so.
Sure. So do I move to do this, or is it just a direct appointment?
It's just a direct appointment.
Okay, sure.
You don't need a vote. So
fair enough. All right. So the acting co-chair moves to appoint Kimberly Aceves, Dr. Bill Riley, and Peter Lay to the Strategic Planning Subcommittee for 2020-2021. The acting chair also moves to appoint Jorge Velasco and Ana Carita Allen to the Evaluation Subcommittee for 2020-2021.
All right. Thank you.
And with that, I believe we can now move to administrative matters. So if the staff has any general announcements or regarding upcoming meetings, anything like that?
I think we covered upcoming meetings.
I'd say, Sandy, that the evaluation subcommittee, if you are available October 28th, I should probably know that you're appointed. Jorge and Ana Creta, are you guys available October 28th?
I'm checking right now.
Is it the 20th?
28th.
28th.
It'll be Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday.
Would it be in the evening or during the day?
What works for you? Because this is, you know, now that we're COVID quarantine.
Wednesdays after 2 o'clock would be best for me.
And Akrita, what works for you best? Is it evenings or afternoon?
Anything after like 4 o'clock.
After four? So maybe we could try for 5 o'clock. Would that give you just enough?
That'll be fine.
Okay. Because the evaluation, but five like, we could work for. Yeah. It's a public
meeting. And the date works as well.
And so it'll be a public Zoom meeting. We'll post the draft. An evaluation report that Friday prior for review, and what they will do is just introduce themselves as a consultant team and walk through the presentation and kind of give you how they will present to the full POC and City Council, and your critical analysis will help them better kind of represent the data of what the impact has been and kind of get to the questions. So, all right. Thank you, Seth.
Okay. If there's nothing further from staff, everybody good to wrap up? Yeah. Okay. With that, it is 8:06. Thank you all very much for joining us tonight. And this meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you for missing the VP.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Thanks, everybody. Night.